News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton and FM Talk 106.5 on your Friday morning. We've got a lot of things to get to this hour. Obviously, we're going to get to that audio from the evening that Trump was shot in Pennsylvania. That is just astounding, really. And then when you consider the story, it's if you didn't know what that audio was from, say you weren't even aware that Trump was shot, and you were to play that audio, it almost makes you nervous, not like what in the world's going on here? And then when you put it in the context of that was the evening Trump was shot and the failures of the Secret Service and or of all law enforcement that were on the job there, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And so many issues, obviously, that have come out since, especially in some of these committee hearings. And as many of you have noted on the text line, and we've talked about, really nobody paying.
Nobody going down.
Nobody going down. I mean, of course, you had Kimberly Cheadle, but there was no other option for that one after her ridiculous performance in front of the congressional committee, or was it a Senate committee, that first Monday that the Congress returned. But since, I mean, no one on the scene, I keep seeing footage, even footage that was released a few weeks ago with one of the, I don't know if he was the head Secret Service agent on top of the roof talking with some of the local LEO. And then there was more of this guy yesterday in the new footage. And he just seems to completely be out of his depth. Now, that is obviously...
Talk about the interim?
No, I'm talking about the person that was on the scene at the Butler PA rally. He seemed to be the one in charge. He was asking the questions on top of the roof after the shooter had been killed. And he was made an appearance in this latest body cam footage that was released yesterday, where he looked even more out of his depth than he did on top of the roof. He has, as far as I know, if he is the one in charge, he hasn't been fired or let go, or I don't know if he's even been questioned in front of any of these committees. Instead, you have kind of these offensive linemen. You have Kimberly Cheadle and then the new guy, Roe, who have been kind of taking all of the heat for this, and just complete failure on almost every level, it seems. I think we're fortunate that there was a sniper that was able to kill the guy after the 8 shots rang out.
You know, so then Roe, when he testified, that was a bit of an upgrade from Cheadle, but not everybody would say that the complete upgrade or that he was great in that testimony. Then this says a lot to me. I saw something. It was streaming live, and so I wasn't cherry picking quotes from, you know, I was watching it for about 15 minutes. I forget where Roe, the acting director, where he was, but it was a presser. And in that presser, he talked about the Pittsburgh office of the Secret Service and said, they're really down right now.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that when you brought it up. Like down, like
they're
depressed?
Yeah, they're down. Like, even if they are, and you're aware of it, that would be an internal thing to talk about. I don't think after the level of failure that was demonstrated that night that you talk about their feelings.
Well, and, you know, Pittsburgh FBI, they weren't the ones tasked with securing the rally. They were tasked with investigating and finding out about this Thomas Crooks after the fact. So the fact that they're down, maybe he means they're just not able to during their investigation.
Are all Secret Service in D.C. and then they're parceled out from there, or are there?
I really don't know how that whole thing works.
I don't either.
I mean, I know headquarters is in D.C.
But he was talking about local people under him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was talking FBI. Anyway, whatever he was saying, to talk about their feelings after, it's like you get slammed by 50 points, so they're down right now. Yeah, I know, because they played like crap. Mm-hmm. Their fans feel it too. Well, America is pretty down by that performance. So you don't have to tell us that your guys are down.
Right.
We get it. They should be.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the kind of a slow leak of these different videos that are coming out. And, you know, one of the initial reports was that One local officer had been boosted onto the roof by another officer, and that when he got up there, Crooks, the suspect, turned and saw him, and then he fell. And then Crooks shortly thereafter began firing into the crowd and at the president. That's a major part of this video yesterday. Now, I was watching. You can't really see, unless I didn't slow the frame down enough, you can't really see Crooks once the officer gets to the roof. It's body cam footage. So as he's climbing up, the view is more down
at the building,
at his hands as he's climbing up. But he, you know, both hands were kind of, he couldn't do anything. He was picking himself up onto the roof, so he couldn't draw his firearm. He sees this dude turn around, I guess. You couldn't see it in the footage, so I don't know if Crooks turned around with his firearm raised or how exactly that happened, but it clearly frightened him enough that he fell and twisted his ankle, and that's really when the chaos began.
So part of that chaotic audio that you're about to play, is that, is some of it sounded like it could have been in, but I didn't hear the gunfire. It could have been in between the time that the police officer spotted him and he 30 seconds later, he fired off some shots.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know what part I'm talking about? There's chaos, and it's like, I don't know, it sounds like he's describing what he just saw.
Yeah, so he's running, and the first minute and a half of the video, of one of the videos, I think there were three, maybe four videos that came out yesterday.
I watched a couple of them yesterday.
One was uncovered by the Wall Street Journal. I think CNN pulled another one, and somebody else pulled the longer version that was about 5 minutes with the officer's body cam who climbed onto the roof using another officer to hoist him up. First minute of that video where he's climbing onto the roof, no audio. So you can't hear shots being fired.
Okay.
If that's when it, that is when it happened, but you can't hear the kill shots being fired at Thomas Crooks. You can see this officer, after he falls off the roof there, running to his vehicle to grab his long arm. And you also see all the chaos of the other officers. Remember just a couple weeks ago, there was footage from people who were outside the rally near that building. It was almost more like a tailgating situation.
Yeah.
Remember there was a horse, a lady with a Trump flag on a horse kind of riding by. And at that point, and that was about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes before shots rang out, local law enforcement had been kind of separated and around that building and looking up. They knew that something crazy was going on. They knew there was a guy, I think, on top of that building, and they just didn't seem to know what to do. Now, I believe local police were stationed in the parking lot behind that AGR building.
Mm-hmm.
You had, of course, Secret Service on top of the building that was behind Trump within the perimeter. And then you also had a local sniper team inside the building. And I think one of these guys that's in this body cam footage was in that second floor of one of those AGR buildings that's right next to the one that Crooks was on top of. Now, mm-hmm. they're all kind of linked together, right, with walks. You know, there was what he boosted himself onto was kind of a
HVAC unit, wasn't it?
Well, no. What he boosted himself onto was kind of in between the two buildings,
okay.
like a covered walkway, maybe almost
okay.
something like that uh-huh. is what it seemed to be. So it was a little, but he climbed up there. He saw the guy. He fell down. This audio here was from, I think they said around 5 to 10 minutes after this whole event went down. So officers were just figuring out how to get up onto the roof where Crooks had already been killed. They weren't sure if there were any other shooters, you know, if the scene was entirely secure or
yep.
not. But this police officer, who apparently was pretty involved, he's local, but he was involved with the staging of security for this whole rally. And he said, you know, earlier in the week, he claims that he told Secret Service that they needed to make sure that roof was secure.
Yeah.
Now, I'm also seeing that local law enforcement was asked by Secret Service to be on top of that roof, and they said they didn't want to have their guys up there in the heat. They said the 90-degree and above heat for that long of time, and had decided to put their officers inside that building. And I believe one of these officers in the body cam footage was in the second floor of that building and noticed all this weird stuff going on. Here is one of the officers saying, I told them. I told Secret Service this.
Start towards the farm show.
And told them they need to post the guys over here. I told them that the Secret Service. I told them that Tuesday. I told them to post guys over here.
I have no contact with you.
What?
I thought you guys were
No. We're inside.
Alpha one, Bravo one. Nikki.
So you heard that guy say, I thought you guys were on the roof. No, we were inside.
I told them to post guys over here.
I wasn't even concerned about it because I thought someone was on the roof. I thought that's how we, like, how the hell can you lose a guy walking back here?
They were inside.
I wasn't even concerned about it because I thought there was a guy on the roof.
Why were we not in the building?
Because I thought we were going to post guys over here. I talked to the Secret Service guys. They're like, yeah, no problem. We're going to post guys over here.
Yeah, no problem. Well, that didn't happen. That was outside of their security perimeter, apparently.
How bad does all that sound? In retrospect, knowing what happened, just complete failure to communicate, first of all, execute. But if you don't have the plan to execute, what the hell are you doing?
And remember, Crooks was on their radar for a good few hours before all of this.
At least 2 hours.
As he tried to enter with the rangefinder that he had, and then they saw him milling around around the outside perimeter of the rally. Here is one officer after all of the chaos. He's on the radio, and he talks about this guy that was creeping people out as he walked around the around the rally.
With the backpack on the north side was a gentleman with a flat face that we were looking for earlier. He was creeping people out over Brinkles.
The gentleman with the flat face who was creeping people out.
He was last seen in the woods by the water tower.
He was watching, I think he said, watching people in the woods by the water tower. So they had eyes on this guy. They lost him somehow at some point, and one local LEO was talking about how angry he was, and he couldn't believe that they lost this guy after having eyes on him initially.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
We were watching
him. I know, yeah.
Couldn't find him.
Yeah.
Nah. We were watching him. We couldn't find him. That's I'll call him the main character. They didn't release any names of any of these law enforcement officers, I guess for security reasons or something like that. But when other law enforcement arrived to the scene of that AGR building, this one officer, who I believe is the same one who tried to scale the building and then fell back down, he's the one kind of telling everyone how to get up there. There's a lot of confusion about how to even get onto the roof, and he's describing kind of what the suspect had on him, kind of what he looked like. They said, full kit, here he is.
Yo, Mike, I climbed the wall, and I popped my head right in front of him, bro. He's got a book bag, he's got mag. AR laying down. Yeah, he's laying down, prone out, book bag next to him.
Yeah, he's got a full kit. He said he's laid out, proned out, book bag next to him. So at that point, he was dead.
Okay.
after the shots. Okay. Right. And of course, a major part of this is, well, the communication problems and not being on the same channel. They said radio reception was poor and there wasn't a uniform communication channel for the event's entire security force, a coalition that included state, local, and federal agencies. Instead, most officers were only able to communicate by radio with members of their own agency, but not directly with Secret Service. Secret Service agents also weren't inside a command post set up by local police ahead of the rally, meaning that critical information couldn't easily get to them. In some cases, info had to be relayed three times before it reached Secret Service agents. Here is this same officer. He goes back onto the roof after Crooks is dead. And there's a couple other officers on there as well. And I think he's communicating with one of the members of Secret Service. And he's like, I tried calling you guys. I can't believe we're not on the same frequency.
Dude, that's all. Calling out, bro. You're on top of the roof. And we're on the same frequency.
Unbelievable failure on pretty much every level here, except for at least having someone in position to fire the kill shots. Now, it could have very well been after Trump had been killed if this had worked out differently. And, of course, you also had one rally goer that was killed and two others that were seriously, seriously injured. And it's, I know a lot of people are saying, well, it's already being memory-holed. It's, and I don't expect Kamala Harris to come out and make it a central theme of her campaign, right?
No.
And I don't know how much it does for Trump if he continues to talk about the day that he almost died and theorize about why this lone shooter would do something like this. But maybe because he's not talking about it a whole lot and not a whole lot of other people are talking about it, it does in a way seem like it's been, you know, quote unquote, memory hold, and that people have already tried to kind of forget about this.
It feels that way. And It's just, and the text line's going berserk right now, because when you hear all that, and another thing, and, you know, this is just my thought on it. There's times that you, you're on the job, but you have kind of a vacation feel to it. It's almost like, this is exciting, Trump's coming, wow, we get to do this. You know, not really with your head fully in the game. And that would go, and I'm just saying, that this has got to be accounted for in some way. They were on the job, but it doesn't sound like they were at their very best. And that would be the Secret Service, and that would be the local guys, too.
And, you know, a lot of excuses that you hear.
I mean, the roof's too hot?
Roof's too hot. Roof is sloped. You've heard Secret Service say, well, we're low on men. We don't have enough. Local law enforcement that same day said, you know, we have a lot of injured and people that just can't make it to this rally. No accountability, really, on any level.
Was everybody at the Joe Biden party for the Secret Service? Were they all in place?
They said, what, there were three times as many Secret Service at her smaller event than there were at Trump's outdoor event.
There you go. Text line is 251-343-0106 to Mobile Mornings and to all the shows here at FM Talk 106.5. I believe we've got Scott Buttram in for Jeff Poor today from the Trustville Tribune.
That's the plan.
One of Jeff's weekly guests. All right, to the text line we go. Ricky refers to himself in the middle of his text about the Trump assassination attempt.
Okay.
I'll read it to you.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah.
Can you do it in Ricky's voice?
I cannot.
Okay.
And
just
I will
do Dan's
not.
Voice.
I will not. Trump faked his assassination. It was all staged, Ricky, to get Trump's base back. So I don't know why Ricky's name is in the middle of his text about something that his name should not be in the middle of. Anyway.
I think it just pops up every now and then. He just says his name.
Wanted to make sure that that we knew it was Ricky.
Ricky.
We do.
I'll say that's your theory, that he faked that.
Yeah.
I think most people don't think that's the case. To me, you know, we hear about all these potential terrorist attacks being foiled. NFL games this fall, all 32 stadiums will have the ability to face recognize every single person in the stands via high-tech cameras on drones or something like that. Our technology and investigative services have gotten so good at finding out what may be about to happen and, according to them, foiling it before it happens. And I'm not saying it's an apples-to-apples thing and that they should have absolutely, without a doubt, known that a lone wolf was going to do that day. But after the fact, after all this has gone down and they go back and look, it is impossible for me to believe that they can't find out more about this Crooks and his connections and why he may have done what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are so good at doing that,
yeah,
usually before the fact, right? And what else have we learned about his family, his mom and his dad, other than just kind of basic information at the beginning?
Nothing that they're releasing now. If they found out anything, if they learned anything new, I haven't read it.
It almost seems like, you know, rogue investigations done by people who apparently care more about figuring out why this happened than the federal government does.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only things that are coming up with anything that might be interesting. I know Heritage Foundation was doing a bit of an investigation, somehow got some phone data, and you can't take it to the bank because it's not, you know, the federal government that's putting this information out there. But they said that one of his phones had been to D.C. and had been at all these different places. I saw yesterday online somebody pulled up the sign-in pages to the gun range where this Thomas Crooks would go to, you know, practice, fire his guns. And in at least four instances, he signed in at the exact same time as someone else did. Same day, same exact time. But they've edited out. They've redacted all of the other names except for Thomas Crooks. May have been his dad going with him.
Mm.
But it really just leaves more questions than it does answers because they won't put any of that information out there.
Failure that day and failure since that day.
Yeah, they're not letting the people know what happened. .35 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Congratulations, we all made it to Friday. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. How are things looking over at McConnell Automotive? A big weekend on deck here.
That's right. It's a big weekend. We've got cars stacked on top of cars over there, especially on the new car side, man. We've got a lot of stuff over there. Need to check that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got some good interest rates, and like I said, we're going to be there all weekend long. So come by and see us. Say hi. We'll get that car running, get that cool air running in it, and just come on by.
Yeah, and reminder that you're also buying vehicles from customers.
That's right. Just give us a call, 251-476-4141. Ask for Gene, Eddie Hicks, or Mike Hatcher. We got three of them working them now. So, I mean, if you want to get rid of something, just give them a call. Give them the VIN, the miles, a little description of it, and they'll give you a price right off the telephone.
Now, that's a team right there. We appreciate your time, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Have a safe weekend.
All right, you too. That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
We'll look over the fence for Democrats a little bit and see what's going on over there, including James Carville acting like an 81-year-old mob boss.
How is he in the news so much these days?
he's amusing.
By the way, your chance to win tickets here at some point in this next half hour. Also, a lot next week. We'll give some more opportunities to see Styx and Foreigner 1 week from tonight at the Wharf. Styx and Foreigner, the Renegades and Jukebox Heroes Tour. So we'll give away a pair of tickets here within the next 24 minutes, I promise. Let's look at the text line, 251-343-0106. Martin says, didn't those idiots guarding Trump do radio checks in advance? Doesn't seem like they did. Or if they did, they said, well, nothing's going to happen. I guess we'll make it without having direct communication between Secret Service and local law enforcement
That's SWAT teams. Thinking. The attitude of the security force, Secret Service, state police, whatever, it seemed like it was just this event they were going to be at. Yes, they were security, but it doesn't seem like they were really, like, zoned in on what their job was.
And, you know, this probably doesn't really matter, but I couldn't help but think, while all this was going on, now, the main guy here on this body cam footage, which, again, they haven't put their identity out there, he seemed very, very concerned with figuring out how this happened and trying to get to the guy as quick as possible. But I didn't hear anyone asking about, you know, how's the president? Did he get his head blown off, you know, and maybe some of that information came down to them during some of this point. They didn't say, you know, how many are dead out there. Now, I know right after it happens, you're just trying to stop what is happening.
Yeah.
But
none of them had anything to do with this stopping it.
One moment at the very end of one of the videos, when they're already on the roof after the suspect had been killed, kind of a postmortem of what had just happened, one of what I believe was a local law enforcement officer said, so much for getting that picture with Trump. And it's like, wow. You know, especially now you go, oh, my God. That was the – and maybe that's – I mean, it's an exciting event when Trump comes to town, especially if you're in a rural place like that. So maybe there was a bit of them being more starstruck and not really worried about what might be going on than trying to take care of the business they were supposed to be there to do.
I don't want to beat up on, like, one person saying something like that. If you were in the audience and you saw Trump get shot, and then he survives, obviously. If you were leaving and you were just an audience member and you were to say something like that, somebody would pop you. Like, that's so inappropriate. Like, you're not, like, they had to be in so much shock if you were in that audience. When you were leaving, nobody was throwing around cracks like that, probably. Yeah.
Well, and I will say, and again, this is a minimal issue with this entire thing, what this one officer said, but I've been the type of person who, during a very awkward moment or tough moment, tries to kind of cut the tension a little bit.
I guess that's what he was doing.
Maybe say the wrong thing unintentionally, but yeah.
If you were, it would almost be, you could forgive somebody, but if you were somebody who was involved in the security of that event, and that's pretty bad.
Yeah, and I would like to have the audio, and maybe because the body cam audio from this same guy came into the video later, but the first minute and a half when he's actually climbing up there, there's no audio. I'd like to know the reason behind that, whether it's as simple as there just was no audio for that camera or not. But, you know, they have to ask simple questions. We need answers to simple questions. And something as simple as, hey, why isn't there audio in this first minute and a half of him climbing up there and apparently seeing the shooter and then falling down and then the shots ring out? No audio from that part.
Yeah.
Todd from Grand Bay says, guys, that was such a gross failure. Makes you wonder if it was intentional or not. It's just that is such a dark thing and heavy thing to think, especially knowing that there have been instances in the past where the feds have been doing things that the American people wouldn't expect or want them to do regarding potential political opponents. I still think, you know, the easiest answer is usually the easiest answer is usually the correct answer. And for this instance, just complete complacency, the lack of communication, Secret Service apparently not showing up for the planning stages of this event earlier in the week. I'm going to continue to go until some serious evidence is out there that this was just a complete failure on every level from Secret Service down to local law enforcement. Yeah. Joel says, the more that comes out about the temperature, let's see, I'm trying to trying to translate
the
here.
The heat?
The more that comes out about the something on Saturday Nation of Trump, the more it looks like the Secret Service was involved, plain and simple. Because they knew he was going to try and attempt assassination. Okay, Joel, I'm trying to translate. I'm having too much of a difficult time. So if you'll maybe clean it up and we'll get your thoughts out there. Rock and Roll Doctor says, where's the data from Crook's phone, computer, game console? Shouldn't the FBI know what's on these devices and communicated it to the American citizen? Yeah, just give us information. Just let us know more. And there are people that are digging in and there continue to be hearings on this, but it's for how long ago was this? We're coming up on almost a month and still very little known about this suspect and what he may have been doing during the planning of all this. Mr. Plot says, come on, guys. You know, Jill needs more protection than Trump. She's a doctor, for Christ's sake. This texter, Donald Trump said in his presser yesterday that they had another person in custody and seemed to allude that Crooks had an accomplice. Yeah, in part of that video, they talk about someone being in custody. I do know in another video I saw, you know, there were a lot of other bystanders that just happened to be around that building as part of, they were like, they were at the rally, but not in the rally.
Yeah, they
tailgating.
They
almost, never went to,
exactly.
Like.
They didn't go through security. They had their Trump flags and all.
Many
that.
Many of them had their phones up and were videoing.
Yep.
And so I'm sure, in the eyes of law enforcement, there were a lot of suspicious looking people out there. But they were just suspicious because they had eyes on this guy apparently before the law enforcement did. Joe says the assassination failure is like when on January 6th the Capitol Police opened the doors and let the protesters in. The government is part of it. This texter, we would do well to remember the old saying that a wise man seeks reason and truth. There's nothing wrong with questioning questionable events, but believing something without proof opens us up to false knowledge. If the Trump assassination attempt seems off to you, it's because it was staged, people. Nothing hardly ever happens politically without planning. That's Angry Patriot. Ricky, okay. Let's see. Trump lost his Christian base because of warp speed. It destroyed America, and real Christians will not vote anymore because we are awake now to the left-right system that only benefits 1%. All right, Ricky. And Gardner says, at a minimum, it's obvious that someone didn't want Trump to have the best security available. And, yeah, I think that was from top down. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that the Secret Service is in charge of protecting, not just the president and vice president, but also past presidents and family members and other important people around the sphere of the executive branch. So, but I think, you know, you had the Trump team saying, hey, we kept asking for more people. And then it comes out that, hey, did you know there are Iranians planning on assassinating Trump?
Yep.
We beefed the security up before this because we knew of these attempts. And you go, really? You beefed it up?
That's
because
beefed up.
This happened after you apparently knew there was a threat on his life from Iran.
And what's up with Google? Because I'm Googling date of Trump, whatever, rally. Date of Trump assassination attempt. It's not, nothing's coming up.
Nothing. Yeah.
Date of Trump. It's not filling anything in. It's not taking me. It's not responding to I think I'm spelling pretty well here.
Well, that's because it was a politically divisive event, Dan, and they don't want anyone becoming even more divided because of, I don't know.
I'm looking for data. I'm looking for the date of the event,
mm-hmm.
and it's not responding. So I don't know what that says.
Yeah, it's insane. KCC, date of Trump is not feeling anything. It's not. Okay. We're having some issues with the talk to text, but we'll keep going through these texts here over the next segment. 251-343-0106. You mentioned you mentioned Quinn's friend James Carville earlier. and you've been kind of trying to tune in and hear what Carville is thinking about this whole
thing. Yeah, I mean, I think it's always interesting to hear all sides, and he comes with, you know, he's 81 or so, and he's an older gentleman now, but he's still coming with the fastball under the chin, no mm-hmm. problem.
I love that every time he talks, he sounds like he's at an LSU tailgate.
He does. I think that's baked in.
Just right? Mixing it up with the folks out there.
That's the guy right there. Democratic strategist James Carville took aim at Senator John Fetterman from PA, of course, mm-hmm. we know. He's on the Politics War Room podcast on Thursday. So, you know, I would recommend that y'all do what I do sometimes and just listen to all kinds of podcasts, read all kinds of articles, because you may not agree with them, but you'll have a better idea of what some people are thinking. He is really PO'd at at Fetterman. One of the great backstabbers in modern Democratic politics is John Fetterman.
Mm.
I'm going to wait till after the election to deal with him, but he's somebody that must be dealt with and must be dealt with in real terms. Now, it sounds like when you talk about the things he's saying, what does that mean?
Yeah, how's he going to deal with this monster of a man in Pennsylvania?
I don't know if James Carville is well enough to get on a plane to address him face to face. That was that's interesting. Also, some of these Harris rallies.
So wait, the Fetterman thing.
Yeah, that was been. So he
Fetterman's just been speaking his mind. I don't like his politics, but I like the turn Fetterman's made in the last few months. Like, I don't care what you believe politically and what you want to see happen with the country, but don't lie. Either side. And he said, you know, even yesterday he was asked, "What do you think about Harris's chance of winning Pennsylvania now that she has Waltz on the ticket?" And he said, "Still don't like her odds." That was Fetterman.
And so that's. That's Fetterman. He said, of course, when she was his people, the report was that his people, not Fetterman necessarily, but they contacted the Harris campaign people and said, "Hey, our guy John here is not a big fan of Shapiro. So just for what it's worth, he thinks he's too much of a in it for himself. He'd be a bad guy to pick for that reason." Maybe a vice president. I don't know exactly what Fetterman was saying. I would guess that it was. It looks like that they're both Democrats. Now, what Carville said was that Fetterman won because of Shapiro, that Shapiro dragged Fetterman over the line because that was the year that he was elected governor, was the same year that Fetterman got in.
So
the Democratic vote got him in the first place.
So he's saying he backstabbed Shapiro.
He backstabbed Shapiro. And so anyway, he's got issue with him there. And the other thing is, are these, help me on the text line, are a lot of the Harris rallies, you hear these big crowds, they're actually concerts.
Well, I don't know if lot of them.
Well,
the one in Atlanta was.
She it was had a concert.
She had a female rapper there and one of the Migos.
That'll draw a crowd.
Well, yeah. And one of the reports was that after the performances and before Kamala took the stage, that people started, you know, pouring out of the auditorium.
That's what
at
I would
Georgia
think.
State.
So you can take what you get. You get a big crowd there with the concert, and it's going to sound like a big crowd, audio-wise, video-wise, too. But so you take what you can get. If 12,000 people show up and 8,000 people leave, you still got four
yeah.
or whatever.
That was the big twerking for democracy thing they had going on at Georgia State.
And the last thing is this: in the poll, she's up. That's for real. A Marquette poll recently, but also that yesterday in Detroit, they had these shuttle buses that took everybody to wherever they were, away from the parking lot. And then 2.5 hours after the concert, rally. People still had not gotten the shuttle buses disappeared, and now people were like PO'd.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably not good form to bring a bunch of people together, and then by the 2 hours after the rally, they're They hate you because you didn't return them with the shuttle bus.
Yeah, I don't know if they hate her after that. They probably found a way to blame Trump or somebody. But she's using, you know, she's just sticking to the teleprompter at these rallies.
Not debates.
One after another. I got to read this CNN headline to you when we get back about what Trump's trying to get Harris to do.
We also got tickets to give away.
And we have tickets to give away also. And debates apparently, or debate agreed to. Trump's trying to get multiple debates with Harris. Have some of that audio on the way as well.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It's a little Dierks Bentley right there, but if rock is more your thing, we got some tickets for you right now.
Yeah, Dierks played at the Wharf recently.
He did.
And so will next Friday night, Styx and Foreigner, the Renegades and Jukebox Heroes tour, together live for the last time ever. I don't know if that means they're going to be battling each other to the death, or this just means that it's the end of the road for their touring. But
it won't take much.
A couple great bands here, Styx and Foreigner. Caller number 4-251-343-0106. Caller number 4-251-343-0106. Pair of tickets to see Styx and Foreigner together live for the last time ever. Wharf Amphitheater next Friday night. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Also, the Wharf box office.
Controversy in Satsuma?
Yeah, a little bit of a controversy in Satsuma as, of course, the school year has begun, and parents apparently worried about a Facebook
email,
post that was going around that showed a picture of gates in front of the restrooms there at Satsuma High School, and one parent spoke with Fox 10's Natalie Williamson and said, so this post also said that students would only be allowed to have two restroom breaks per day at Satsuma High School. And this one parent spoke with Natalie Williamson at Fox 10, and she had her concerns.
Let's just say that, you know, a young lady starts her cycle in the middle of class, and they're like, oh, but I can't go to the bathroom for another hour. Okay, if people bring their Stanleys and their water cup, and you can drink water all day, but you can only go to the bathroom twice.
Yeah, that is. If you're drinking your water cup, water out of a Stanley all day, you are going to have to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
Well, so Natalie spoke with Jason Golden. He's the new principal at Satsuma High School. Apparently, he's done this at other middle and high schools. It's no surprise. Kids go, if they know they can go to the bathroom and screw around and waste time, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I've had success, and it's not twice a day, but more often they're allowed to go to the bathroom. But he said, hey, this actually works if you give it some time.
First off, we don't have a restroom policy. There's a difference between policy and procedure. And we do have restroom schedules to instill to maximize student instructional time and ensure that students are where they need to be in a safe and supervised manner.
So he said there will be five opportunities throughout certain periods of the day for students to utilize the restroom facilities. A faculty will supervise each break. I don't know. Maybe we can have a longer discussion on this next week. I don't have a problem with this.
How about the DA's thing, what he put into place, and then they saw these results. How about if Satsuma's grades go through the roof?
Because they're not going to the bathroom. You know, Sean only lets us go like once a day here.
Yeah, I'm up at 10:15. It's 8:59 with Dan and Dalton.